take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word if you can. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. We're going to read a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Let's pray. Dear my Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, and we thank you so much for this church. Dear my Father, this church has a rich history of preaching the Word of God and standing on its principles and promises. And dear my Father, I pray that once again you use your Word how you see fit. Dear my Father, I pray that, like that song said earlier, that dear my Father, you just use me however you see fit. And dear my Father, I pray that I be used of you. Help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This passage is talking about a concern, and then it also goes down to the last thing I believe is, and that's the title of my message, bringing it back to the basics. Bringing it back to the basics. You know, this church, we can't forget about, just like we as individuals in our Christian life. Sorry, guy, I forgot to turn on the lapel. But here's the thing is in a lot of areas of life, we've just got to get back to the basics. I remember when I was in high school, Pastor Griffin was the youth pastor, but he was also the basketball coach. And a lot of times he used to drill back into us, back to the basics, back to the basics. And back then, our school was rated number one or two. We kind of battled for that. And we used to do the pendulum play, and it was awesome. But the thing about it is you know what he used to tell us is, you know what? If you play the pendulum and all of us, or that, not the pendulum, the trap. And if you play the trap and you steal the ball, and then you get called because you don't know how to dribble. And you know what? That's not going to help you. And I think... you know, and here's the thing is that I'm now working for a propane company, and I'm one of the service guys, and they sent me to basic propane classes. And I remember thinking, basic, let's see, I want to get into the deep stuff. But you know what the instructor said? He said, listen, if you don't know the basics, the more detailed stuff isn't going to make sense to you. You're not going to be able to pull it off. Well, the thing about it is too many times we get confused and we forget the basics in the Christian life. Here's the thing is we're going to talk about this morning, getting back to the basics, getting back to the importance of prayer. I'm so glad that we have cottage prayer meetings, because here's the thing is, you know what? There are a lot of churches in America, they think that, you know what, God is going to show up without them praying. And I'll be honest with you, God wants us to pray. And the thing about it is the Bible says that we can come to the throne boldly. I messed up that verse, but you know what I'm saying. We can come boldly into the throne of grace. And here's the thing is, we need to get back to the importance of prayer. We need to get back to the importance of scripture memorization. I tell you what, I started memorizing Romans chapter 6. And let me tell you, if you want convictions, don't start. If you don't want conviction, don't start in Romans. And you know, I looked in Romans chapter 6, and I thought, you know what, that's a great passage to memorize. And I started memorizing, and I thought, you know what, maybe I should change to a different. So I went to a different passage in Romans, and I started reading that, and I'm like, no, I definitely don't want to memorize that one. And so, anyways, I went back to Romans 6. But here's the thing: is that listen, we need to get back to the importance of scripture memorization. That word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Here's the thing: is why do we struggle with sin so much? Because here's the thing is, we haven't hid God's word in our heart. The importance of caring for lost souls, the basics, and this is all just introduction, but the thing about it is you know what? We've got to get back to the basics of what is this church designed for? What is the purpose of this church? Well, listen,
The purpose of this church is to be, you know what? Some say it's supposed to be a spiritual hospital. But the thing about it is God has given us the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you know what? I've had people that tell me, you know what? I can worship God in my home, and that's my church. And I'm like, oh, great. What's your missions program like? Well, how are you reaching the community for God? How long are your services? Here's the thing is, listen, let's get back to the importance of caring for souls. And you know what? I tell you what, it's important to get involved in a church like this one. And, the importance of building someone with no personal gain. You know, here's the thing is, too many times we go around, all right, let me see. I want to reach a millionaire, bless God, because you know what? Our tithes are, no, here's the thing is, you know what? God said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And listen, I don't know about you, but you don't find a whole lot of missionaries in the gutter. And you find an errand, but you don't find a man. No, I'm joking. But anyways, the thing about it is that I'm really going to get myself in trouble. But anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, you know what? We need to go out and find someone to make a difference in their life. The importance of living each day in the light of His coming. Here's the thing. It's just like that song, I surrender all. Why do we surrender all? Because you know what? We want to please our Lord and Savior. We want to be used by God. We want God to do something great in our lives. And the thing about it is why? Because we realize that one day He is coming again. And you know what? One day He's taking all those that are saved. And you know what? I'm so glad. But here's the thing is, listen, when we live life with realizing in the light of His coming, you know what? That our neighbor that's not saved, if they don't get saved, you know what? They're not coming. And the thing about it is our family members that are lost. You know what? You don't go to heaven on your good looks. And thank God, right, Jacob? And anyways, but the thing about it is that I'd be right in there too with you, Jacob. But anyways, the thing about it is that listen, you know what? The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's the thing is, you know what? The Bible says our righteousness are filthy rags. And I tell you what, I'm so glad that I don't believe in a work salvation. Because you know what? It just ain't going to happen. And anyways, those of you that know me long enough realize that would be rough for me. And but anyways, the thing about it is you know what? I'm so glad that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might or shall be saved. It doesn't say might be saved, so shall be saved. And the thing about it is you know what? When we live life with eternity in view, the thing about it is how we act then matters. What we do. The thing about it is too many times, we've heard too many times, well, you know what? I can live my life and it's my life to live. And you know what? I don't have to do this. And I don't, well, listen, if we're living life with eternity in view, we will live life with a purpose. And that purpose is to see folks saved and lives changed. And but anyways, here's the thing is, I believe Paul's call is for a return to the basics in daily living. Success. Here's the thing is, the success in the eyes of the world is a whole lot different than success in this book right here. You know, the thing about it is that just like that verse talked about, the world sees success as people that have this right here. They can pull out this right here and have a little more in it than just $1 bill. But the thing about it is that to the world, that's success. To the world, you know what? I tell you what, driving the Porsche. And it's not a 1993 either. And the thing about it is that, but God says the success, godliness plus contentment equal great gain. And so here's the thing is that we need to get back to the basics. And the basics, we're going to talk about the basics this morning. And back to the basics. And so the first one is in verse 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness. It must begin with the gospel. See, the thing about it is there's no other way to achieve godliness apart from this. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, the thing about it is if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to be mean, but you cannot be godly. The Bible says you're of your father, the devil. The thing about it is godly is basically having the attributes of God. Now, the thing about it is that, you know what? We cannot read our way to godliness. You know, the thing about it is there are folks out there, and you know what? I'm not saying devotion books are bad, but the thing about it is if we're reading a devotion book and we're not reading the Bible, that's not getting us to godliness. The thing about it is you know what? Our main book that we read ought to be this one right here. But the thing about it is you can't read your way to godliness. You cannot meditate your way to godliness. You cannot work your way to godliness. You cannot worship your way to godliness. You cannot give your way to godliness. The thing about it is I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of religions out there that you know what? That are based on those things. Now, the thing about it is you know what? If we are godly, we're going to worship. If we are godly, we're going to work on a church. If we are godly, we're going to read and meditate on the Word. But the thing about it is you know what? We've got to be saved. We've got to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But all these things become a part of being godly after salvation. The Bible, the route to godliness. See, the thing about it is we've too many times we take and we form opinions outside of this book right here. And the thing about it is the Bible says having a form of godliness. I just lost the rest of the verse. And not having the power thereof. But the thing about it is listen. You know why there are many powerless Christians? Because we have a form of godliness. We don't walk with God. We don't seek His will. The thing about it is we've gotten away from this book right here. Too many times, you know, here's the thing is, there's a lot of controversial subjects. Music is one of them. I tell you what, you go to five different churches in this area, and you know what? I guarantee you, all five churches will differ on what godly music really is. Some of them will take, I like the 7-Eleven songs. They'll take seven words and sing it 11 times. But the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, what does God say godly music is? And the thing about it is I remember when I was first a song leader up in Michigan, the pastor said, listen, if you're to be the song leader, I want you to study out what godly music is. And I went through and I started, I did a search in my Bible program, and I looked up how many verses had to do with music, and it blew my mind. I'm thinking, this is going to be a several month process. But the thing about it is God says so much about music, but you know what we say? What makes sense to me is, and we don't see what the Bible says. See, the thing about it is there's a lot of opinions out in this world that are not based on this book right here. This is why we need to get back to the basics of the Bible, back to godliness, back to prayer. The thing about it is that we think about Daniel. And you know what? Pastor preaching on this not long ago. The thing about it is he went and he opened up his windows and he prayed. Several little words, as he did aforetime. He was a man of prayer. He didn't wait until, you know what? I remember hearing a sermon called Pop Bottle Christianity. And you know what? He didn't wait till he needed to, he didn't wait till he needed something from God. He decided he was going to get back to the basics and he was going to be a man of prayer. Back to worship. But the thing about it is there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. The Bible says godliness, back to verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness and contentment. What a combination. See, the thing about it is you know what's interesting, Jacob? You can't have one without the other. The thing about it is you know what? There's a contradiction to the person that says, you know what? I'm godly, but I complain constantly. Here's the thing is, I don't know about you, but I don't find being a complainer one of the attributes of being godly. And the thing about it is that there are some people where, you know what, they walk around, they tuck their Bible under the arm, and they say, you know what, I'm a godly individual. But you know what? This isn't right, and that isn't right. And you know what? I tell you what, I'm going to complain about this, and I'm going to complain about that, and I'm not happy with this, and how dare they do that to me? And you know what? I tell you what, the Bible says godliness plus contentment equal great gain. No one can walk close to God while complaining. No one can know true contentment apart from walking with God. See, the thing about it is that, you know what? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3.
The Bible speaks of this is godliness plus contentment equal great gain. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Contentment comes from focusing on what we have, basically gratefulness. I'll be honest with you, you cannot walk with God without having this attribute of being grateful. Grateful to a Savior. You know what? Bless God. You know what? When we got saved, it wasn't by works. It wasn't by anything we had to do. You know what? I think about when I got saved, I was just a young boy. And you know what? I was saved from sin. From that point on, my feet never had to touch hell. I was no longer bound for hell. You know what? I was a citizen of heaven. And bless God, my sins, although there were many, were washed away. And you know what? Jesus became my Savior, and you know what? I trusted in Jesus to save me, and you know what? God became my Heavenly Father. I have a home in heaven one day, and you know what? I never have to experience the horribleness of hell. You know what? I got a Comforter. I got the Holy Spirit to guide me. You know what? I tell you what, I am no longer bound by sin. And the thing about it is you know what? What a joy. Here's the thing is, if we're grateful, we'll realize that, you know what? God has given us everything. God is so good to us. There's the terms mercy and grace, not getting what I deserve and then getting something that I didn't deserve. The thing about it is if I got what I deserve, like my mother-in-law used to tell my wife, you know what you deserve? You deserve hell. And she did too, bless God. No joking. But anyways, the thing about it is then also not doing anything for it, she just became a citizen of heaven, a child of the King. And I tell you what, you know what? We've been given so much. It's time that we start being grateful. You know, I'll be honest with you, this generation has lost this idea of being grateful. So many times you do something for these young kids nowadays and there's never a thank you. I tell you what, when we think about all that Christ went through on the cross and we're godly, how can thank you not form across our lips? The thing about it is you know, here's the thing, is this idea of godliness plus contentment equal great gain is being content with those things I have. I'll be honest with you, I look around and this church has been, I tell you what, just a godsend. The people inside this church are just awesome. And the thing about it is you know what? You know who doesn't like churches like this one? Basically, people that do not know what it's like to be content and don't know what it's like to be godly. The thing about it is that, listen, I'm not talking about somebody that decides, you know what? Hey, listen, we need something else, and bless God, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and, hey, pastor, I've got a burden for thus and so. Let's start a new ministry, bless God. Let's reach more souls for Christ. Hey, hey, pastor, do you need another bus driver? Hey, listen, I'll be it. Hey, do you need another children's worker? Hey, listen, by the way, if you want to be a children's worker, you're a member, hey, bless God, we've got a place for you. We could use some more. And you want to be a bus driver? Hey, praise the Lord. But the thing about it is listen, I'm not talking about ones that's wanting to roll up their sleeves and say, you know what, bless God, let's reach more souls for Christ. You know what, the thing about it is there's problems with the godliness of the individual that says, you know what, I'm going to point out the problems of our church and I'm not going to present a solution because I don't want the solution to be me. The thing about it is that's the problem. Godliness plus contentment equal great gain. Contentment comes on focusing on what we have. Discontentment comes from focusing on what we don't have. I'll be honest with you, we talked about marriage this morning. When you start as a spouse focusing on what your spouse isn't, that is the best way to get yourself slapped or in serious trouble. And listen, the thing about it is listen, if I wanted to go home and ruin my marriage, I'd be like, honey, how come you're not the wife so-and-so is? You know, here's the thing is, I'd be on the couch for sure. I might be buried out back. One of those crosses might be mine. Anyways, but the thing about it is you know, here's the thing is children. You know, we can't do that to our children. Hey, listen, you know, so-and-so is in algebra too. How come you aren't that smart? I tell you what, that's the fastest way to ruin a child. But at the same point in time, when we do that at church,
Well, this church does this and that. Why don't we do it? And we start comparing churches. The Bible talks about being careful about comparing yourselves among yourselves. We've got to compare ourselves with this book right here. And verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destinations and perditions. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You know, it's interesting how God words that. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here's the thing is, it'd be kind of silly for us to hurt each other, for us to hurt ourselves. If Jacob was up here and he was sitting down there punching himself in the gut, we think that guy's a nut. You know what, Abby, you got to stay away from the guy. Or if he's sitting there beating his head up against the wall, we'd think, all right, let's send him down to, where's the nearest psych facility? You know what I mean? And the thing about it is we'd say there's a serious problem there. But too many times we as Christians, if we're not careful, we do things that hurt ourselves. And the thing about it is understanding, you know, that there's a danger here. We can have goals that do not line up with the Word of God. The Bible talks about sorrow, the sorrow that accompanies riches, the cares of keeping things, and they end up holding us. The danger the thing about it is when we seek after riches more than God, we've got a problem. I'll never forget, I tell you what, working with young people, one of the things that my wife and I always cringed about is when a teenager got a job or got a car. Those things among themselves are not evil. And you know what? I believe it builds character. But the problem is many times the parents didn't have enough character to train their kids about the character. And then eventually what ended up happening was a teenager that wasn't mature in the first place got a job that took them out of church. And the thing about it is that next thing you know, they were driving here, there, and everywhere, and they were going this place, and eventually the parent would come to us and say, "We've got a problem with our child. They're a senior, and they want nothing to do with God." And I'll be honest with you, this is why it's so important for us to take... Here's the thing is, we are training our kids. Every opportunity is an opportunity to train your kids, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent. The thing about it is I remember when I was in church and growing up in Washington State, there was a saying up on the wall, "Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks." The thing about it is we'll take and we'll allow our kids to miss church for T-ball, for this or for that. And the thing about it is a lot of times our kids are in church less than some of the C&E crowds. And the thing about it is then a lot of times the parents will come to the parents will come to the youth workers or the pastor and say, "You know what? Listen, my child is about ready to leave the house, and they care nothing about God. God is not a priority." And what you want to tell them is, listen, you train them for God to not be a priority. Thing about it is if you want God to be a priority in their life, you have to show them that. Here's the thing is, you want to know why I'm in church today? It's because my parents said, if the doors were open, bless God, you're in church. I remember being too sick to go to church one time. My parents made me sit on the couch and said, "Listen, you will listen to church on the radio. If I can ask questions and you don't know the answers, then the Board of Education is going to meet the seat of learning." And the thing about it is you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm in church today, and God means something to me because my parents showed me that God was real in their lives. We need to get back down to the basics on realizing, hey, listen, we can't teach anybody else to have God be a priority if God's not a priority in our lives. If we'll miss church over anything, if we decide this is why, I'll be on, and I'm probably meddling, but pastor, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But the thing about it is listen, this is why a lot of pastors say, listen, if you're going to teach a Sunday school class or if you're going to work on a deal, you've got to come to church other than Sunday school. Why? Because listen, I can tell you right now is that if I missed church and I was in a ministry or I was gone most of the services, I'd be the most backslidden person as the devil. And the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, we need to get back to the basics of putting God first in our lives. I surrender all, just like Beth sang. Thing about it is too many times we sing, "I surrender partially. I surrender except for if there's this going on. I surrender if it's not inconvenient for me. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, why churches used to reach so many more souls is the people inside the church used to sing, I surrender all and mean it. And the thing about it is we need to get back to the basics of saying, Lord, I surrender all. Every aspect of my life, you know what? You are first in my schedule. You are first in my time. You are first in my talents. I want to use my talents for you before I use it for the world. You know what? I want to use everything about me for you. You are first. And nothing and nobody is first before you. Because the Bible calls that an idol. And the thing about it is that, listen, understanding, realizing that there are dangers that we are actually hurting ourselves when we put other things or other people in front of God. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, we become ineffective as a church when we decide that something goes in front of God in our priorities. And so the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, you know who usually hurts is our children, our loved ones, our neighbors. Because the thing about it is I'll never forget, when I was growing up, there was a guy named Mr. Dick that used to live across the street. He always had the same old SUV sitting out there. In fact, when we went back there last time, the same vehicle that used to sit out there when I was a kid still sits out there today. I hope it still runs. I don't know. But anyways, you know what was interesting is? One time I was talking to Mr. Dick and he said, and I made a statement. I can't remember what it was or what it meant, but he's like, oh, that's right. You won't be there that time. You'll be at church. And the thing about it is even our neighbors knew that on Sunday morning, we were going to be in church. Sunday night, we were going to be in church. Wednesday night, we were going to be in church. And you know what? If there was a special meeting, we wouldn't be there all week. And so the thing about it is listen, understanding the evils and the temptations that are out there. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee those things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. We need to have the right goals. So the thing about it is there are many people that seek after riches. And what we find is that riches do not cause happiness. I'll never forget one time I was transporting a wealthy individual to a psychiatric facility. He was dressed in a suit that was probably 20 times more valuable than anything I'd ever bought. I don't really know the price, but it was like an Armani-type suit. And he says, I've got multiple houses. And he starts naming off the cars he has, and they're pretty impressive. He says, anything I want, I have. He says, yet I can't understand it. I'm the most miserable person I've ever met. The thing about it is he's had the wrong goals. See, the thing about it is Paul is saying, listen, the goal we should seek after is righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to get back to seeking after righteousness. We need to get back to seeking after godliness, to where somebody looks at us and says, you know what? That's a godly individual. Because here's the thing, is we can say it of ourselves all we want, but if somebody looks at us and says, heathen, chances are we're not the godly individual. We can't tell of ourselves that, oh, I'm Captain Spiritual. No, you know what? People will tell, because usually it's like leaders. If you have to tell somebody you're in charge, chances are you're totally out of control. You know? And the thing about it is if you have to tell somebody you're godly, chances are it's because they didn't know in the first place. And so here's the thing is that, listen, faith. We need to get back to the school of faith, having trust in God and the power. Love. I tell you what, if a church doesn't have love, we'll never reach people. We'll never be the kind of church. And the thing about it is too many times churches across America, love is the first thing furthest thing from people's mind. Here's the thing is the Bible talks about that we love one another. Here's the thing is that, you know what? There ought to be more love in this room than anywhere out there. You know, and the thing about it is we ought to have love for each other, but also love for the lost. When we're not willing to reach the lost at any cost, we have a love problem. When we're looking to reach only those people that benefit us, we've got a love problem. Because the thing about it is you know what? If somebody was looking that way,
chances are I would have never been reached. You know what? When I was a kid, I was not the person that they say he would turn out and be a preacher one day. But you know what? There was a group of people that said, you know what? I'm going to love that Scott, and we're going to allow God to work in his life. And you know what? The thing about it is a lot of times it's those that have been saved from the most that do the most for God. Now, it shouldn't be that way. Those of us that have been saved from the least should be the most on fire for God, because we've been saved from the most. But the thing about it is patience. Waiting for God to do his will. You know what? That's what I admire about our pastor the most, is his patience. The thing about it is he has a lot more patience than I do. And I'm one of those, let's get it done, and let's get it done yesterday. And but the thing about it is you know what? You ever watch him with our kids? He's very patient. You ever wonder why our kids love him so much? Because he's patient. That's one attribute that we should have, is being patient. One of the goals, meekness or humility. I'll be honest with you, we run around tooting our own horn. We're not going to reach a whole lot of people. It's the humbleness, realizing that, you know what? God can use anybody. And so here's the thing is that let me ask you this morning. Do we need to get back to the basics? Do we need to get back? Have we been caught up in the cares of this life, like the Bible says? Have we been kind of so worried about the technical things of different things that we've gotten away from the basics of what this church and our Christian life should be? Because the thing about it is when we forget the basics, just like in basketball, you can perform the trap perfectly, but if you get caught dribbling, you've just wasted all your efforts. The thing about it is, if we get away from Bible reading, if we get away from prayer, if we get away from a personal walk with God and personal holiness, and if we've gotten away from that song on I Surrender All, our efforts are going to be worthless. Let's pray. Dear my Father, I thank you so much for verses like this that just kind of bring us back down to earth. These reality checks, so to speak. And dear my Father, I thank you so much for the fact that if we're honest with ourselves, each one of us need these from time to time. The basics of realizing that, you know what, we've just got to get back to having faith in God. Too many times it's so easy for us to try and take control and to work things out ourselves. Dear my Father, if we ask the world, faith doesn't mean anything to them. They think it's stupid. They think it's worthless. That those that just have faith are weak people. But dear my Father, we know that by experience and by the Word of God that faith is the victory. Faith in one that can handle any situation that we can't deal with it without you. Dear my Father, I pray that you have your will and way in the invitation and help us to be like that song earlier, I Surrender All. In Jesus' name, amen.